thank you all for coming, and I want to give a special thanks to Mary Offerman, the Vice President for Human Resources and Safety Services. I really like that, Mary, for joining us. She'll be here for some of the presentation, and in fact, she's going to kick us off, and we might, after she finishes with her comments, open this up for questions generally about the university's survey and response, and then I'll come up and talk specifically about the library's response and our next steps. So, Mary.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mary.
I have no good reason for doing that except it's Tuesday, and so thank you for having me. I'm just going to quickly go over a couple of framing slides about the survey in general, and then Anne's going to talk much more about the way the library responses compare to the university responses. We asked some questions, and I'll also stop and say that the university's engagement survey was put together by institutional research and planning, not by human resources. And so if you have questions about why it was framed the way it was, I'll do the best I can to answer those, but those were really decisions made by the experts in Marin Clarkburg's area. So I want to do justice to Dr. Clarkburg. So if you have really detailed questions about that, I don't want to try to answer those. A number of questions were asked, and in general, what we developed was that there were a number of general findings, and that those findings were related to these key areas. All of the areas below affinity relate to affinity to Cornell. So, said another way, supervision and local climate, workload, policies and institutional climate, the view of senior administration, the view of recent changes, how we relate to our personal stressors and our individual roles, how we feel about those issues, all have a bearing on our affinity to Cornell. And so the more positively we relate to our supervision and the like, our view of how we're handling our workload and the balance on our workload, the view of the fairness of those policies and how the institution's climate is, how we perceive the university's administration, our view of the recent changes and downsizing, and how we feel about stress in our own workload, those all relate to our affinity or engagement to Cornell. The top affinity effectors, the things that affect our view of or our engagement to Cornell the most, were the top four. So we are most affected by our local climate, our own supervision, and our local climate was the most had the most effect on our engagement, our sense of affinity, our loyalty to Cornell, followed by workload. Not only our own workload, but how we view our own workload related to others, or the sense of workload balance, followed by how we viewed HR policies, particularly the consistency or lack of consistency in how those policies are applied, and the institutional climate particularly related to consistency of treatment. And finally, the fourth area is our view of senior administration. In the first, supervision, in general, those surveyed viewed their local supervision, and local climate quite favorably. Workload was inconsistently viewed. HR policies, more particularly as it related to consistency, had a less favorable view, and the least favorable view was the view of senior administration. In the rest, recent changes viewed more negatively. Personal stress was viewed in a varying way, as was individual role within the university. Questions about those? And you're going to see this, by the way, for yourself in much more detail when Ann talks. So this is just an overview at the university level. Questions about that? Ann.
Senior administration. I think there was some confusion around what was considered senior administration. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, it was actually confusing. One could say that was done on purpose, so we don't know who people thought so ill of. But it was described as those reporting directly to the president or provost. And so you had your choice about who you were evaluating. You could have been evaluating those in Day Hall, or your dean or a senior leader. And so it really was not clear who people meant by that. But it was the individuals at the very top of the organization. So by comment, and I will tell you that there were, I'm sorry, I can't see you all. And it's making me feel very far away, like, which is pretty much what y'all thought people would have said something about. So there were 1,739 comments. There were about three of us who read all 1,739 comments, and I was one of those. The comments about senior administration were, many of them related to Day Hall, but it was difficult to tell who people meant. So I can tell you some of them meant me, but not all, and some of them meant David, but not all. And so it was hard to tell. It was actually very hard to tell. Other comments? Questions? Okay. I'm just going to make my way back over here now.
I'm getting nervous here, Mary.
I didn't talk about the agility of the much of what we learned from the surveys had to do with local issues, which is why we gave the feedback to our deans and vice presidents, senior leaders, because we know that, and again, to the point about affinity, the biggest connection between a positive view or engagement to Cornell affinity was with supervision and local climate. That was the most connected, the most positive views were with your supervision and local climate. So we know that the most positive views and the most connection is to what happens in your own unit. So we're asking that every local leader spend time with their own survey and also with improvements in their own units. But with that said, there are some things that we think we heard across the whole campus, and the president has asked us to begin with things that we know we can improve immediately. So here are four relatively simple things that the president has asked us to work on. One thing that we heard was that with spans and layers and many fewer job openings, individuals are asking about career growth. There just doesn't seem to be much opportunity left to change, move, grow, develop. And so he has asked me to lead efforts to identify some better strategies for career growth. The second is not simple, it's not easy, but it was, we heard about it across the campus, and that's the issues around workload imbalance. Here, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer to this, because In the comments in particular, we heard very different things, but we did hear about workload. Some places said, I just can't get everything done. There's too much to do. Other places said, I'm not getting any help figuring out what is a priority. Everything looks like a priority. Other places, right, we heard very different things, actually. I'm underutilized, and no one is helping me figure out, and I can see that there are things that need to get done, and I'm not being given any opportunity to do the new thing. Very different, vastly different comments and feedback. So the president has asked us to look at the issue of workload and balance across the campus. Connected to that, a really lot of comments around changes to work, but no changes to the classification of jobs. Finally, or third, I should say, just a general sense that the changes have been borne on the backs of the non-faculty. I don't even like saying it that way. The workforce who are non-tenure track. And that there's not a lot of recognition of that. Down 900 positions across the campus, and not much acknowledgement of that across the organization of what that felt like here. So some recognition program for the fact that we've continued without much reduction in the amount of work or the amount of excellent work that's continued to happen on the campus. Some increase in the acknowledgement of that through recognition programming. And then finally, a lot of consistent comments about needing a better way to give feedback to about supervisors and the work that supervisors do. But the reasoning is very different. So we get a lot of comments about this, and what we heard was that individuals wanted to give feedback about supervisors who were excellent and really got it, and they thought others should have supervisors like their supervisors. And we also heard about supervisors that really needed some help. And so not a one-size-fits-all, not necessarily a complaint, but a real sense that they had nowhere to go with their feedback about their supervisors. So the president has asked that we develop and implement some supervisory feedback mechanisms, and that we institute a way that they're regularly used. These do not go all of the way in terms of at a university. Sorry, I really am uncomfortable back there. I'm going to come back over here because I don't have any more slides. Those do not go all of the way in terms of responding to the things we've heard across the whole university, but those are our first four that we're going to work on. Our effort is to have something done in all four of those areas by the fall. So we're going to work on all four of those. We have committees in place, and we use something called a PIP, a project initiation plan. Those are being drafted right now in human resources, and we'll be putting out updates throughout the summer and into the fall in those four areas. So that's what we're going to be working on. In addition to that, every college and unit will be talking in groups like this about things that can be done in every area. So that's our first foray into understanding what we've heard better. Wow, I'm really engaging this afternoon. Comments? Questions? And
so that first one seems pretty hard with the reduction in the spans and layers. Really has cut out a lot of those middle levels.
Mm-hmm.
What have you had any initial thoughts about how you're going to pull that rabbit out?
Yeah. So couple of things. It's not as easy to move around on the campus as it was because there's not as many openings. But the other, where there are openings, we're also finding that it's harder for our current staff to compete for those jobs. We aren't preparing people as well as we need to. So at a minimum, we need to do a better job of finding out what skills are being expected so that when the jobs are open, we can be sure that our current staff are well trained for those positions. But the other thing that we need to do a better job of is in-job growth, because there's ways to grow the job you currently have. And the other thing that we need to do is make opportunities to grow while staying in your position. Projects, doing work across the campus at university, project kind of work. There's a lot of ways to feel motivated, involved, growing. There's a lot of ways that you can feel like you're continuing to grow and be part of this university that don't always involve moving around and into new jobs. I think that what I've heard, and I go to every training program, every leadership and management program I spend, I go one day of the program and listen to people, what we call them a Las Vegas session. So what happens there stays there. And so I've seen since the downturn about 550 people that way. And what people are looking for is to feel engaged and to feel like what they're doing makes a difference. And there's a lot of ways to do that without, other than just changing jobs. We haven't done as much of that.
Now, since your name was for what you characterize as non-senior track or non-concerned, and I don't know what are the experts on understanding the morale or other kind of workplace attributes of professorial staff, but is there a gap between how non-professorial staff feels versus the rest? I'm wondering how would you characterize that?
It's a great question. So, we mixed a whole lot of people into this survey. So we had academics. I think we might have even, I don't know if we put postdocs into this survey, but we definitely had all of our academics, which means we had our librarians, our extension associates, our lecturers, our research associates, and our staff and our union staff all in this one survey. And then we had tenure track faculty in another survey that I've actually heard from faculty, because we didn't ask them engagement questions. We only asked them about their issues related to work and family. So we didn't collect this kind of information from them, and I've had a number ask me why we didn't. We know a bit about some of the stresses and strains that they are facing as it relates to particularly tenure track faculty, as it relates to trying to address the issues of tenure and dealing with their personal lives. And there are many of those are very, very similar. And those overlap in terms of career management as well. And I'll also tell you that as we look at this data by subset populations, we have surprising similarities across our subset populations as well. Mm-hmm. The economic downturn has had an incredible leveling effect, not just at Cornell, but across the country, with folks who, this is just so groundbreaking. None of us, at least in my working, 30 years of working, have experienced not only this economic downturn, but the length of this economic downturn, that it's had a leveling effect on people, except for sort of the very, very wealthy. People are, most people have not had this experience in their work life.
I understand Peggy said Cornell has rebounded from the economic downturn. How is that translating into getting more conditions for us?
We are rebounding. I would not say we have rebounded, but that's a great question. We still have a significant amount of our endowment underwater from where it was invested, but we are back in a good position economically. We are nearing budget balance, so that's a very good sign for us. But we are not in a position, and probably won't be
where we will be growing in significant ways in our operational budget. So our aim is to get the budget balanced, and we expect to do that in the coming, after this coming year. Budget balance is pretty good in this economic situation. And we hit our budget deficit straight on when a lot of our peers did not. So in 2009, we had a lot of our peer institutions saying, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, everything's just fine. And we just said, you know, things are really not good, and we're just going to take this on and get it fixed. And because of that, I think we're going to pull out of this by the end of next year. And we have a lot of peers who are really just now starting to look at major downturns. So I think that's why we're not going to end up in better shape much more quickly. That's a great question. So the New York Tech campus is actually funded through a separate funding model, and it takes no funding at all out of this operational budget. There's a firewall between the two campuses by design. But what I'm hoping is that it will actually help this campus. And that may seem counterintuitive a little bit, but what we're finding is that from a benefactor standpoint, we're getting some alums, and actually even some people that are not alums interested in some of the work being done on this campus that we couldn't get interested in us before. So as you know, it's an applied tech campus, and so it's really easy to get people juiced up like Chastini in what they're going to produce for New York City. The conversations that Dan Huttenlocher and Lance Collins are having about the production of jobs in New York City is very quickly leading them back to bench research happening here in Ithaca. And it's surprising to me how quickly their discussions are leading them back to wanting to learn more about what's happening on the benches here and in Ithaca. And so I'm actually really hopeful that it's going to turn into philanthropy right here in Ithaca, New York. But from an operational standpoint, there's a firewall between the two campuses. Other questions? I'm going to now agilely jump off this and turn this back over to Anne.
Thank you, Mary. I think Mary has set the stage pretty well for me to now come in with some of the data around us. So, the libraries. I want to acknowledge Marin Clarkberg's heroic efforts to actually pull together data for the libraries throughout the system. The libraries on the endowed side had been pulled together initially in the survey results, and just last week, before she went off on vacation, she was able to pull them out of the other libraries. So of the 391 individuals within the library system who could have responded, we had an 88% response rate, or 344 of us chose to do that. I think that's a pretty remarkable response rate, considering that overall the university averaged about 70%. I know there were other places that had good response rates as well, but I think that the library might be at the very highest. As Mary said, our responses were pretty much in line with what we were observing with the other units on campus. And as I looked, if my math is correct in terms of the response to the range of questions that were being asked, the library responded overall higher than the rest of the university on 34 of the questions and lower on 16 of the questions. And we'll sort of go into what we
know about that. These are the categories, and Mary has already talked about the relationship one to another and what they really are meant to gauge. And so what I'm going to do is just take one at a time and talk about the results for the library. Before I go to this particular slide, I'm going to move over to kind of help you as you look on the staff web at the library's results. And we provided in Take One the URL for this within the staff web. And I really encourage you to study it. So as you look at the way the data is being presented, green is good. Red, not so good. And yellow and orange increasingly are moving toward areas of concern. For the library, as we look at the means in terms of the response, the library is on the left, and it is compared with all of the university, which would have included the library in those results, to the right. And then the difference between the library's response and the overall university's response would be shown in that sort of bar graph thing there. Next thing over is always looking toward the positive side of things. How can we interpret those who responded to each of these questions in terms of overall positive view toward things? So for instance, under affinity for Cornell, we see that 84% of librarians are overall satisfied with their job at Cornell compared to 80% of the university respondents. Anything at about 4 and above, it's on 5, 1-5 scale, is, you know, sort of considered in the green. If you go below 4, particularly as you go below 3.5, we begin to get a little more concerned. So let me go back to the affinity for Cornell. On the positive side, with that mean above or equal to 4, I already mentioned the overall satisfaction with working at Cornell, and 82% of us said that we would recommend Cornell as a good place to work to others. Below the 3.5, things that we need to take a little bit of care in assessing is Cornell does a good job of recognizing the contributions of staff. Mary's already alluded to this as an issue. 48% of the library staff felt that Cornell does a good job of recognizing the contributions of staff, or the other way around, 52% of us felt that they did not. The concern around satisfaction with opportunities for promotion, which again is a number one priority for the university to figure out how to respond to, 38% of us felt that the opportunities for promotion were good. Moving along to that second category of supervision and local climate, as Mary said, there was a sense that this is where the highest correlation with affinity for Cornell occurs. And in fact, Cornell ranked lower than the university's response in only one of those categories, one of 11 questions that were asked in this area. Positive items, my performance reviews are conducted on a regular basis. 85% felt that the supervisor fairly evaluated work performance. 89% felt that the supervisors treated staff with respect. And there was a good sense of trust about the communications received from supervisors, 85%. There was also good support in terms of pursuing learning and professional development. On the other side, where we need to look at the relatively low mean, Mary's already mentioned the opportunity for regular communication and feedback on the supervisor's performance. And this year, in terms of doing performance of my direct reports and also those who report directly to me, I am soliciting and receiving feedback from their direct reports, which have been extremely helpful. I think everyone I've done performance reviews for to date have been grateful for having that kind of feedback. So I think it's a good thing to do, and you know, it's sort of like, why didn't we do this earlier? There was concern about being satisfied also with direct involvement in decisions that affect my work. Only 53% felt that they had more control over the kind of work that was being done and how they would have an input into that. And then there was concern, almost 50% felt that the department was doing a good job of retaining its most talented employees. And this is kind of the overall picture of supervision and local climate within the library system. Lots of green, very positive response in many areas, higher than the universities in all but one, but still identified areas for improvement that I think we can make a real difference in. Workload. There were none that were identified with a positive mean above or equal to 4. There was one that was below 3.5. So there was a lot that was clustering between 3.5 and 4. And again, Mary has commented on the issues around workload, particularly in this question, focusing on distribution within my department or unit. This is clearly something that I think we can begin to address. And here you see the sort of broad picture there of what's going on. HR policies and institutional climate. The library scored higher in all but one category compared to the rest of the university. On the positive, at 4 or above, 85% felt that we were treated fairly at Cornell without regard to race, ethnic background, gender, religion, disability, or sexual orientation. But 37% of us felt that across the units at Cornell, workforce policies were consistently and fairly administered. And here we have those differences between, and as you can see, they're fairly close between the library and the university itself. Senior administration. This was an area of concern. I like to think it's Day Hall and Mary personally that you were all talking about, but I also recognize that there's certainly room for improvement at my level and at the library executive group level as well. None were rated at 4 or above, and there were quite a few of them that were below the 3.5. 39% of us had confidence in the decisions made by senior administration. 43% of us felt that the senior administration had a clear vision for where we're going. 41% felt that they were interested in hearing the ideas and opinions of staff. So here we see more orange and yellow than we would like to see, and the differences for the library seems pretty significant here in terms of 0.1 and higher difference between the library and the university. I'm also looking at those red bars and what is it saying to us. And for me, the issue here is one of communication. How do I do a better job of communicating the rationale and decision-making processes associated with really tough issues that have been playing out over the last couple of years? Now, Mary said it was senior administration which was the biggest problem in terms of it, but really I think the recent organizational changes, particularly since 2009, have overwhelmingly impacted the way we feel about things. And there is a bit of this things being done to us where other units have not had as much impact. But it's not all that different from some of the other responses from the university. I want to go back to show you the in terms of recent organizational changes, there were none that were above 4, and there were a slew that were below 4. 26% felt that they had been administered fairly, with all levels of the university sharing the impact. 15% felt it had resulted in positive changes for my department, and 27% felt that it helped the university spend money more wisely, and 21% felt that it had created new opportunities for you individually.
So, and I just want to be clear, actually, nobody likes recent changes. The only point that we made is that statistically, it's the connection of people's view of the recent changes to their view of their affinity with Cornell. So if the first 4 points, ending with the view of senior administration, there's actually a relationship between the perspective you have on those 4 factors and your engagement with Cornell. It drops off very quickly after those 4. So even if you think very negatively about the changes, it doesn't correlate to your engagement with Cornell in the same way. So the issues you have with your supervision, your local supervision customers are negative, workload customers are negative, HR policies positive or negative, your workload positive or negative. There's a correlation to your affinity or engagement with Cornell. Surprisingly, it drops way back when you get to the recent changes for some reason.
Right, because we have a pretty high affinity for Cornell, and we scored relatively, compared to others, on the our sense of the organizational changes that have occurred. Personal stressors. We have sort of a split thing here. It is interesting. I don't know whether it has to do with our the aging of our library staff, but most of us were not stressed by child care, nor were we stressed by the care of someone who's ill, disabled, or aging. But there was a good bit of concern around security of your position at Cornell and stresses associated with finances and or debt. And here we see those. So we see that in terms of security of your position, 44% of library staff, or 56% of them, were stressed about concern for the security of the position at Cornell. Finally, the individual's role in the university. We have a relatively good take on this with lots of green, positive results. My work is interesting. 85% of us feel that. And overall, our working conditions are satisfactory, another 85%. And I'm going to have to rely on Mary a little bit on, I do work beyond what's expected of me, but there was a positive correlation of 78%, which meant they didn't feel overworked. Is that correct?
I do work beyond what is expected in my job.
Right. And it's in the green here. So what? How do we interpret that?
They're just agreeing with the question. They're answering the question. So they're saying yes, they do work beyond that. So how can that be identified as a positive view?
All right. That's the one that seems to be the negative spin out of all of those questions, because they've done some convoluted double negatives to make the positive spin on that one. Okay, so that's not a good one. All right. So as I looked at these findings for the library, And particularly focusing in on those areas with below 3.5 or 60% positive view. In other words, you know, moving more toward the red. I felt that my takeaway from reviewing those fell into these main categories, and some of them are parallel to what the university as a whole has discovered. Staff recognition and reward, the ability to offer advancement capabilities, the ability to offer input into decision making and also into your supervisor's performance, a review of how work is distributed, whether the workforce policies are considered are consistent, and it also struck me that periodic review of organizational changes would be a very good thing. And then the issue of job security is something that we need to provide more assurance on, recognizing how tough the time has been for us. And I'll swing back to that in just a minute. We looked at how the library was going to respond to the information that had been provided to us, and as I've noted in my take one this week, the Managers Council is fully engaged in the review and determining next steps in terms of how to respond to this, really this gift of data that helps us figure out how better to support and engage staff within our library system. Communicate, communicate, communicate is a very key thing as part of this. And while we might feel that we communicate pretty well, in fact, some of the ways we communicate are not as appropriate or are losing some of their edge. So as we thought about this particular survey, we were interested in, one, making sure you all understood what was there. Two, providing an opportunity to get more nuance around library reactions and responses to the survey, and even more important, soliciting your suggestions around how we can do things to improve the situation where there's areas where we clearly need to take more time to reflect. We posted on the staff web, and the URL is there. In fact, my slides will go up on the staff web at the end of this week. We will be providing a Dropbox, an electronic Dropbox for confidential feedback, which will be up pretty soon. I don't know if Zuzia is here, but it should come up very soon, the next week or so. And we are going to be hosting a series of listening sessions that will be led by pairs of manager council members. And we will post this list of those listening sessions. We've consciously chosen members of Managers Council to be meeting not in their own respective libraries, but in other locations. And depending upon how many people show up for these, we will also look for other rooms adjacent to that to handle the spillover. We're going to keep those listening sessions to a fairly small number of folks so that there can be really good feedback and confidential responses. We've also agreed that we will aggregate all of the responses from all of these listening sessions and then share them directly with you. We also plan to do a more detailed analysis of the results from the climate pulse survey that we did in 2008, just before the major crunch occurred. And Maren Clarkberg has agreed to help us slice and dice the data that we got out of the current survey. You know, I can imagine we'd be interested in looking at it from the perspective of different unit libraries. We might want to look at it in terms of academics, professionals, and other staff. We may be looking from central units to individual library units. There's a number of ways that she has offered to help us with that, and we're grateful for that. The goal will be, out of all of this data gathering and getting a better understanding of what library responses are, is to pinpoint our highest priority issues and then to develop approaches and then to communicate that with you before the end of this fiscal year, and then to roll out strategies for trying to make changes that will alleviate some of the situation, and then to take periodic pulses. We are scheduled to take another climate qual survey and be able to compare those results, but there will be other ways that we'll ask research and assessment to look at taking periodic pulses. I did ask Zhuzhe to pull out the data from the 2008 climate qual survey, and I thought you'd be interested in some of the results from that, from her sort of quick assessment. We will be doing more assessment. But and it's not an apples to apples kind of survey, but there in areas where there were comparable data to be gathered, it's pretty interesting to see the responses in terms of overall job satisfaction. There's actually a higher response rate in 2011 than there was in 2008. And the issue of supervisor treating me with respect, which is what the I think it was the climate qual survey asked, and politely is what the staff survey asked. There's an elevation in terms of the percent of positive responses. Compensation, again, it also has gone up. In 2008, there was a 35% positive rate, and there's a 62% positive rate. A question from Climate Qual. My input on what happens in my work is large. About half of us responded that that was true. And while not exactly a correlation, satisfaction with my involvement in decisions that affect my work, 53% positively responded. My work, the work I do is very important to me. 84% felt that. Not quite the same thing as my work is interesting, but 85%. So this is actually a tribute to you in the library, who in arguably the most troubling period of our history have maintained a sense of value of the job, the work that you perform, and satisfaction with that affinity for Cornell. The Atlantic last month had an article, and Sheenley directed me to this. The anti-Walmart, the secret sauce of Wegmans is people. This year, Fortune magazine listed Wegmans as the fourth best place company to work for in the United States. In 2005, it was number one. And the sort of model behind Wegmans satisfaction is, as this quote says, simple. A happy, knowledgeable, and superbly trained employee creates a better experience for customers. Extraordinary service builds tremendous loyalty. This at the time where they're having half the turnover of their peers and also bringing in good profit. So it's something that I think we need to focus on. I want to save room for some questions, but I did want to give you just an update on where we are with the budget itself. We are, in terms of the 2013 budget, we know there will be a shift. We have not determined how it will be allocated yet. It may well be something where we look across the board, or it may be merit-based. We're also looking at what the respective schools and colleges do. I think Lee and I both feel pretty committed to having a parity across all of the library system, whether your budgets are within the library's budget or within the respective schools and colleges. We are also, I was very pleased when we opened it, there were things we weren't pleased about, but I was pleased that the provost had actually added another $300,000 to help with the shortfall in our collections support. We had identified that as something where we weren't going to be able to bridge the gap, even with reallocating resources from the campaign and from our reserves, and he heard that, and so we will not be having to cancel more of our content. And you may have heard that there is a faculty petition going around asking for to join forces with the administration and with fundraising in returning the library to its top 10 per position. They have focused specifically on collections, but I do not want that to be seen as something that is not valuing of library itself. As one faculty member told me, this is where we think we can weigh in the most knowledgeably. And there are over 300 faculty who have signed that petition to date. And it's not just the humanists who are signing it. There's an inordinate number of engineers, computer scientists, biologists, and physicists and others who have signed it. I'm also pleased to let you know that we learned that the university has identified the library as the one place that from Cornell that will go forward to the NEH Challenge Grant, and we've made a strong case pitch for collections. And so our goal is to ask the endowment for $500,000 and match that with a 3-to-1 pledge. And we are close, I think, in naming a very high-level co-chairs for our campaign for collections. Now, in terms of the budget itself, you know that we have faced very tough budget times. Since 2009, we're down 68 positions within the library. That's over 15% of our staff. Variously how you define it. The vast majority of them came through the early retirement incentive program and through natural attrition, folks leaving, folks retiring. There were some layoffs, about a dozen of them within the library system, and several of them were sort of out of our control in that they were wrought by IT decisions. We have the university has rehired about a third of those. And even as we have consolidated unit libraries, and by the end of the summer we will have consolidated 5 unit libraries, we've worked hard to find other jobs for staff who are affected by those changes. So I think that the library has worked hard to balance the crisis in terms of the funding and the cuts that need to be made with a deep appreciation for the importance of staff. Like the other units, we have received administrative strategic targets for reductions for FY13. Like the other units, they are substantial, and they are in such areas as IT and communication and facilities, and that spans and layers issue that Mary had noted before. And Lee and I have spent a lot of time noodling over these figures. We will be reporting on the budget at our July all-staff meeting. But our initial intent is to accomplish these reductions without further layoffs. We know this is a moving target, but we think we are able to do this. And as Mary said, this is the last really tough year for balancing the budget. I don't want that to be confused with the fact that the staff won't continue to decline. There will be some additional declining of the staff, but we are committed as much as humanly possible not to have that done through layoffs, but through the normal kind of attrition. So there will be more on that. Lee, I don't know if you want to add anything to those comments at this point. So I want to have this open for discussion, and would appreciate Mary staying with. Thank you, Mary. But I'm interested in your thoughts about how you interpret this data, where you think the library is an outlier in terms of the sort of survey data, what you think we can do collectively or within our respective departments to move forward in enhancing our work work-life balance and workforce satisfaction and engagement.
The survey says that we appreciate our immediate supervisors more than those at the head of an administration. I'm just wondering whether possibly that could possibly be because we might necessarily have a better idea of the role of our immediate supervisors in comparison to us as opposed to upper administration. Is this sort of the norm amongst all organizations, or is that, I'm not sure. How could we
have
what that might be the normal most
of
all
organizations? Yeah. So you always see a degradation at the higher up you go.
Mm-hmm.
This is particularly striking in that it's quite a significant lack of confidence in the senior administration. But you usually do see it designated as you go up.
Okay. I'm sorry, can you speak up?
Now that you have all this information and all this stuff, you realize that the issues are all candidates. And you know where the employees are suffering, and you know what the problems are. I've heard some of the things that are intended to do about it. But what really concrete things do you intend to do to alleviate some of the stresses that you've created? Some of the things that are physically overwhelmed.
Right. And that was conscious on my part. I don't want to preempt the problem.
No. So we
were
understanding that, you know, when employees leave, and there's pressure on the employees, there's pressure on the employees.
Right. Well, I'll turn this over to Mary in a minute, but I consciously have not wanted to preempt the process of getting a better sense of the particulars as they relate to the library. This is the first time you all are seeing the aggregate information. We want to a better refinement of the understanding of the specifics for the library, which is what the listening sessions and the confidential Dropbox are intended. But we do intend out of that, Catherine, to come up with concrete specifics based on the specifics.
Right. You're absolutely right, and it's a great question. The answer, unfortunately, is not if I could go around and make those decisions, then they would be wrong. So my responsibility is to make them in my division, and every dean and vice president has to learn enough. That's what I think what Dan is trying to say. Make decisions that will actually be the right decisions in each of their units. One of the things that, for better or worse, we made a decision in the early part of this downsizing to close them. So in corporate, when you are all of a sudden safe, I know we need to.
No, we actually have some.
When we were in 2008, remember we started 2008? I'm not referring to the beginning of 2008 as the good old days. I thought I had problems in the beginning of 2008, but I really didn't have any. And then all of a sudden we had problems. Seriously, we really did not realize the financial problems that were about to befall until they just happened. And we went from starting 2008 with a balanced budget
to the fall of 2008 having nearly $100 million profit and with almost no notice of that problem. When corporations get into that pickle, they close a whole business line and they give people boxes and they put your stuff in a box and they shut the business line down. And we made a decision, for better or worse, not to do that, not to just close something and lay a bunch of people off. And we did that, again, I don't know whether we made the right decision, and you know, only time will tell. For a few reasons, we made a different decision. We're the largest employer in Thompson County by over tenfold. If we had laid off 450 people, Thompson County would have had a horrible situation on its hands. And for me, personally, I couldn't have imagined throwing 450 families into that situation. So we made a decision, for better or worse, to let people decide to retire. The downside of deciding that, letting people choose instead of the institution choosing, is that it was not strategic the way we did that. So those of you who remained were left with work that was still needed to get done. In other words, we didn't walk around and say, we're going to stop doing this, and oh, sorry, you're on the job, you're not going to do that anymore. And that decision resulted in a set of patterns about work that continue to this day. So now that we're basically finishing our downsizing, 900 positions later, we are now having to realign ourselves. So the people are gone, and now, almost on a one-by-one-by-one basis, we're trying to figure out how we're going to stop doing things, realign the work, figure out how to do things differently. It's you all are having to help us do that in a very difficult and community-based way. And so the way that we're doing that is slow, agonizingly slow, and different and uneven. And so what we're having to do now is go unit by unit by unit and ask, if it's uneven, what do you think? How do we take that out? What are you doing that we can stop doing? And it's very difficult. And only time, you know, I accept the responsibility for the fact that there were a lot of downsides to the way that we chose to do this. And so the decision to do the staff survey was in part to try to get this information.
And Catherine, I'll just, on the local climate, I'm satisfied with my involvement in decisions that affect my work. If I went and just told you what we're going to do, you would not have been involved in how to alleviate, nor would I know the best way to address some of those concerns. So it takes longer, but I think it is an effort to engage in that process. Yeah?
Clearly some of the issues that we're having are financially based, but others completely independent. In analyzing what we'd like to improve on, or things kind of going into two different channels where you have one, okay, these, if we can get on a better plan, hopefully these are likely to improve. But these other things, even if money was no object, we still need to work on these regardless.
Yeah, I think there's like a double triple whammy on it. You know, I think that the library, arguably more than any other unit on campus, is dramatically affected by changes external to the university itself. You know, just look at the way digital technology and networked access to resources has sort of turned things around. And, you know, 10 years ago, the mark of a great library was how many physical volumes it could make available to the local community. We spend over 50% of our collections budget now on stuff that we don't physically own, that we license, but that are critical across the spectrum of all the disciplines. We're dealing with issues that we didn't even dream were there, such as, you know, how do you deal with new media art, or how do you deal with huge amounts of data or new scholarly communication IP related issues that, you know, I think when Peter Hurdle first started to deal with our IP related issues, it was probably 10% of his time. And now I don't even want to think of what his time is related. So there are a lot of pressures. There are areas where we have not been able to address things. Electronic records archivist. How do we deal with the university archives responsibility in a very different environment from what from which we've been able to discharge that duty in the past, just to be in an area of yours? So I think it's it's a balancing act between protecting what is really important and critical and will always be that way, to being able to invest in areas that will be key determinants of the success of a research library moving forward. And how do you do that with a very finite base of resources? Other questions? Or comments? I want to urge all of you to attend one of the listening sessions. And before you do so, I hope you will become familiar with the general aggregated data as it relates to the library. We do need to have a better sense of the specifics, but we also need good suggestions around how to address overwork, physical constraints. You know, are there better ways of doing something that will result in the same end, but will be less convoluted? You know, one area that I think about at times is how much time we spend in committee work, you know, and how much comes out of each of those hours that is really a positive use of that time. So, you know, one thing I would recommend we kind of look at is the use of those committees and the time spent in that work, and what are the results versus what are the costs associated with that work. We like consensus around here. We do. You know, we are very service-oriented. We're very mindful of everyone's perspective. But at the expense of that is that there may be four or five or six or seven points of sign-off on issues where maybe the decision ought to be down further, and we move on knowing we might make some mistakes, but that we're circumventing some of the time spent in that process. So I want to thank all of you for coming. ARK3, if there are specific things that you would like to ask, please send them along. I will be leaving on Thursday, and I will be back at the end of the month. Lee's going to be here the whole time, right, Lee? So direct all your really hard questions to Lee. Thank you for coming.